Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shabbos Kodesh class learning. We'll get right into our learning. Last time, if you remember, we learned about Vashamu B'nei Esau Shabbos, La'asos Esau Shabbos Odor. So we learned a beautiful piece of the Or HaChaim. And from time to time, over the past couple weeks, I've been actually reviewing all the reasons in my hand. What does it mean, Vashamu B'nei Esau Esau Shabbos? So the Or HaChaim said, we learned it in depth last time. I'm just telling you, a quick recap, because somebody asked me a question last time. First of all, it means pasha pshat, just count the days correctly. Vashamu B'nei Esau Esau Shabbos, like make sure you're counting the right 7 days. Don't count from Tuesday to Tuesday. That's not Shabbos. Okay, that's one. Number two is based on Va'aviv Shamar Es Hadavar, Perek Lamed Zayin Bereishis. We looked at it. Yaakov anticipated when Yosef would be found. We should anticipate Shabbos. We should be excited for Shabbos to keep the mitzvos of the day. The third reason we said was, make Shabbos early. If you remember, La'asos Es HaShabbos, you literally are making Shabbos by bringing in Shabbos early and by sending Shabbos out a little bit late. And Hashem is masking to us, says Or HaChaim. And finally, the fourth reason was, does anyone remember the last thing we said was, all the days of the week had a
pair.
And Shabbos does not have a pair. Okay, we learned the beautiful Or HaChaim. It was very nice. Miriam Steinberg, who is not here, asked me after class, what does it mean that Shabbos didn't have a pair and now Shabbos does have a pair? So I said, I'm going to look into it. It's a good question. I don't know. So I looked up the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, and we're going to go through it together. What does it mean that all the days of a week have a pair and Shabbos does not have a pair? So I looked it up, and we're going to discuss together what it means that Shabbos has a pair. So this is based on last week's class. There was a question, and I WhatsApped her saying we're going to be starting next time's class with your question. So first of all, I'm quoting from the Medrash. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, okay? It's in Parshas Bereishis because this is when Shabbos is created. 11:8 Yod Aleph Ches. So, Davar Achar. Lama Berchel. The Pasuk says that Hashem blessed the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So what does it mean he blessed the Sabbath day? So first the Medrash says, She'ein lo, the Medrash quotes, Rabbi Berechia v'Rabbi Dostai v'Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rabbi Berechia v'Rabbi Stoi. Tai Omer, Ein Lo Ben Zug, Shabbos does not have a mate, right? There's an odd number of days to the week. Chad B'Shabbata, Trey B'Shabbata. The first day of the week has the second day of the week. Chad is Echad, Trey is two. Like Trey Asher is 12 prophets, Trey is two. Tilasa, which is three, Arba'ata. The third day of the week has the fourth day of the week. Chamishasa, the fifth day of the week has Aruvta. What's Aruvta? From Erev. The fifth day of the week has, what is its pair? They don't call it the sixth day, they call it Erev Shabbos. So every day of the week has its pair. The footnote, I'm going to tell you the footnote. This is Art School Medrash Rabbah. It looks much like the Gemara, but it is elucidated just like the Art School Gemara is. So the days of the week are creation, are divided into pairs to show all entities that were created in those 6 days require one another, and they complement each other. It's very interesting how you see that a Maisa Bereishis, not only is it not good for man to be alone, but it's not good for the elements of creation to be alone. Hashem didn't have to make it that every day had a pair. He put things in pairs for us to understand that when one is alone, they cannot reach their fullest potential. Moreover, the Medrash states below, the primary elements of creation did not produce offspring on the day they were created, only a few days later. So the actual days of the week of creation need each other. So Monday did not come to fruition, let's say, till Wednesday. The days of the week flow into each other, and each day complements each other. Let's go on. Shabbata, it's in Aramaic, Lehisla Benzug. Shabbos, however, has no pair. No, says, it cannot be paired with any other day of the week. Why? Not just because it's an odd number, but what's the difference between Shabbos and the rest of the days of the week? Shabbos is Kodesh, and the rest of the days of the week are Chol. So how could you pair something that's Kodesh with something that is Chol? So it's not just some that it's an odd number, but even more than that, they don't go together. You can't put, I don't know, I was going to say apple and oranges together, but you could put apple and oranges together. It's two things that can't be together because...
Basa b'chalav. You can't put together.
Oh, very good. Basa b'chalav. Interesting you're saying that. Rabbi Willick's whole shiur last night, his Thursday night shiur, is an in-depth shiur on, just because you said Basar Bachal, my husband was just telling me that he came in from shiur. You know the coffee creamers? What's the company that makes them?
Coffee Mate.
Maybe they come in Oreo flavor and...
Coffee Mate.
You wouldn't eat that. But...
Or artificial.
Correct. But for those of us who do eat them, not myself either, but if you do, they're labeled OUD. This is very interesting. It's so interesting. My son wanted to have some shal shudas back in March. So he actually went to the shul to ask Rabbi Willick, could he eat this? And Rabbi Willick didn't tell him. I followed up with Rabbi Willick. I showed my husband the text. Rabbi Willick said to me back in March, it's better not to eat it with... after when you're fleishiks. Anyway, the whole shiur last night was, can you eat that after fleishiks? Because it says less than 2%. Something to be batal b'shishim, it has to be 1.66%. So how much of a milk derivative is there? Is there 1.4%? Is there 1.75%? So someone said, so could you pour it into your chicken soup? It was very, very interesting. But because you said basar, someone else at the shiur said, I'm not eating at anybody's house who serves this after the fleishik meal. My point is that you said basar b'chalav, and it was very, very interesting. Okay, so the point is Shabbos is Kodesh, and the weekdays are Chol, so therefore it doesn't have a ben zug. Continues. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman omer, she'enu nidche, yom tov nidche, yom kippurim nidche, Shabbos eina nidches. It's possible for all the other yomim tovim to be nidche, but Shabbos can never be. There's no such thing as Shabbos is nidche. Footnote, the festivals in Yom Kippur are dependent on the new moon, which were established by the Sanhedrin based on the testimony of witnesses. There are certain considerations that would cause the Sanhedrin to postpone Rosh Chodesh, and consequently, the festivals in Yom Kippur could be nidcha. Today we don't have such a concept anymore. We don't go to Beis Din, and we don't testify that we saw the Kiddush Levana, the Levana Bechidusha. We don't have this anymore, but it was. Now we have an established calendar, but the reality is that Shabbos is never nidcha. Back in the day when they established it based on key witnesses, it was possible for Rosh Hashanah to be nidcha if the witnesses didn't come. Okay. Tanei Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught Amra Shabbos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Orach Chaim quoted that Miriam had a question on. Amar Shabbos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. Lekulan Yesh Ben Zug. Veli Ein Ben Zug. Everything in creation is a partner. I do not have a partner. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesses Yisrael. So Hashem said, you're right. You don't have a partner. You're lonely. Lo tov heyos levado. It's not good for you to be alone. Knesses Yisrael, he ben zugeich. Knesses Yisrael will be your partner. So what Miriam asked me, that's the last piece that the Orach Chaim quoted that we quoted last time. But she said, what does that mean? So I said, you know, it's a good question. I'm not exactly sure what it means. I'm going to look it up. Footnote. For the people of Israel, the B'nai Israel observe Shabbos. By doing so, they're considered the Shabbos mate. Why? They and Shabbos testify that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The days of the week testify, this is the day where nothing was created. When we rest, we testify along with Shabbos in partnership that Hashem rested on this day. Alternatively, the purpose of each of the 6 days of creation is that they complement each other. Through properly observing Shabbos, the people of Israel complement and perfect Shabbos itself and are considered Shabbos' mate. So I wanted to actually quote from an article that I saw this week. So we are the maid of Shabbos. We testify that Hashem created Shabbos. Just like Hashem rested, we rest. We become the maid of Shabbos. So I wanted to quote, this was an article that was on the Yeshiva World, November 12th. What's the date today? The 15th. So 3 days ago, okay? Harav Shlomo Amar, when we were zochah to be in Eretz Yisrael in the summer, interestingly, we saw him at the Kotel. He's the chief Sfardi Rav of Yerushalayim, and he was just walking down to the Kotel with some shamshim, I don't know, his bodyguards. Okay, the Sfardic chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Shlomo Amar, wrote a letter to the public officials on Tuesday in light of the tense security situation in the south. I'm sure that everybody saw the matzav in Eretz Yisrael was difficult this week. Encouraging them, what did Rav Shlomo Amar write? You should strengthen Shmir Shabbos. Quote, refrain from breaching the restrictions of Shabbos, Rav Amar wrote. Shabbos is what protects us. It has always been the custom of Am Yisrael during times of distress to gather for tefillah, tzedakah, and introspection. They cried out to Hashem and their tzar. And now the enemies of Israel are penetrating every site. They are threatening us. They are harming us. Their goal is well known. They want to cut us off so we will no longer be remembered. Lo yizachar Shem Yisrael od. This is the time to arise and be strengthened and fulfill the statement of the Kodesh poet, Harav Shlomo Elkabatz. Shake off the dust. Arise. Hitna ari me'afar kumi. Livshe bigdei tifartecha. He quotes the pasuk. We don't have any clothes more splendid than Shmiras Shabbos Hamalka. Lechadodi lekos Shabbos. I request the public figures, mayors, and their leaders, please have mercy on Kal Yisrael, and in general, do not breach the boundaries of Shabbos. So Hashem's protection of His people should not be breached. Because I protect the Shabbos, Hashem protects me. So this was the letter He sent out this week in light of the matzav. We have no right to comment on why Hashem does what He does, but Rav Shlomo Amar said that we need to strengthen our Shabbos observance. So we are the mate of Shabbos. Through properly observing Shabbos, the people of Israel complement and perfect Shabbos. We are considered Shabbos' mate. So very interesting. There's often in the Medrash Rabbah, a lengthy footnote on the bottom. I made photocopies of it because I thought it would be much easier for us to understand if you were looking inside and not if I was reading it to you. So again, we're continuing with trying to understand what does it mean that we are the mate of Shabbos. Well, please take them pass. I have an extra one here in two pieces if we need. Is enough? Okay. So let's look at this together, please. What does it mean that we compliment Shabbos? I feel so bad. Miriam's not here. Will you tell her we answered her question? Hopefully she'll listen online. Insights. A spouse for Shabbos. In what sense, again, this is the footnote in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Art School Compilation. A spouse for Shabbos. In what sense do the 6 weekdays have mates? Most commentators, taking a cue from the language used by the opening passage of the section, pair off the days. 3 matches between them. So that goes according to, there's an even number, 1, 2 goes together, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then there's 1 man out, which is the odd man out. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, however, let me just tell you what the Medrash says. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who says the final teaching. Amar Shabbos Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Lekulan Yesh Ben Zug, Veli Ein Ben Zug. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who said that Shabbos says, I have no mate, and Hashem finally says, Knesset Yisrael will be your mate. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gives no hint that this is his intention. Does he really mean, does all he mean to say is that Sunday is Monday, Monday is Tuesday is Wednesday, and Thursday is Friday? Is that all he means? And indeed, Derashos Maharibin, innovatively, suggests a different approach. Here we go. Each day of the week has its own mate. So this is how we understand what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches, that Shabbos does not have a ben zug, and we are the ben zug. Each day of the week has its own mate, namely, not another day, the entity or entities created on that day. So when Shabbos says, I don't have a ben zug, but Yom Rishon is a ben zug, what's the ben zug of Yom Rishon? Or each day's mate is what was created on that day. What's that going to be the problem, even if you didn't even read further? Nothing was created on Shabbos, which leaves Shabbos without a mate or a partner. Thus, the first day's mate was light, or we said that. The second day was the firmament, the rakia, etc. The Shabbos, however, seems to have no match because nothing was created on Shabbos. So this is a unique approach. It's not the days make a match with each other. It's what was created on day matches that day. Hashem reassured it, however, that the Jewish people, the neshama yisera acquired by every Shabbos observer on the seventh day would be its mate. Isn't that beautiful? So what was created, so to speak, on the seventh day, even though Hashem didn't create on the seventh day, and a neshama yisera that we get on Shabbos.
What about menucha?
Basa Shabbos, basa menucha. Was menucha creation or a result of not creating? Menucha is really a byproduct of not creating. The extra soul acquired by every Shabbos observer would be its mate. The Sfas Emes elaborates. So when I started to read this, and it's Kabbalistic, this is when I thought you need to see this inside to be able to understand more. The Sfas Emes elaborates on this approach from a Kabbalistic perspective. Each of the 6, everyone with me, you know where I'm up to? Mm-hmm. Each of this, do you have a tarot deal behind that? Okay. He's your mate. He's your partner right now. There you go. Each, her son, her little boy's here. Each of the six weekdays is anchored to its own outlet of heavenly sustenance. So Monday is, Yom Rishon is anchored. They didn't call it Monday. Is anchored to heavenly sustenance. Yom Sheni is anchored to heavenly sustenance. And acts as a conduit for that form of sustenance. So sustenance comes down on Yom Sheni. What brings it down, this is Kabbalistic, is the day itself. It is the conduit, the vessel, the vehicle through which blessing comes down. Again, this is Kabbalistic in nature, which by heavenly design is especially suited for the creation of that day. So whatever's coming down in Yom Rishon and Yom Sheni and Yom Shlishi is suited for that day. How will it come down? Through the day itself. This system creates 6 mutually beneficial relationships. Okay, every day brings down blessing. The creatures of each day are supplied with their needs. The days themselves are suppliers of God's goodness, and they are rewarded with more giving power from above. So the more they give, the more power they have to give, which is a very beautiful idea, because the more we give to others, we just, was anyone in Parsha share this week, the more we give to others, the more we have the capacity, the more chesed we do, the more the Rebbeinu Shalom gives to us. So the days are conduit. It brings down the blessing. What is the relationship? All the creatures are supplied with their need. The day is rewarded with more giving, power from above. However, Shabbos has no such arrangement. Why not? Because nothing was created on Shabbos. To be sure, the Shabbos, as the soul of the rest of the week, plays a central role in maintaining the world. It maintains the world. We don't actively create anything on Shabbos. There's no melachas machshavas on Shabbos. But the goodness that it radiates is too holy, too exalted, to be channeled directly to any specific part of the world. So who said the Shabbos would be my specific exclusive mate? I maintain the entire creation, but I don't have a specific mate. In response, Hashem told Shabbos that the B'nai Yisrael would be its mate. Remember, this is what the Aruch Chaim quotes when he says, "V'sham b'nei so asa Shabbos, la'asos asa Shabbos." We make the Shabbos. We complement the Shabbos. We are the mate of Shabbos because Shabbos said, "Who is my mate? Who am I giving to today?" There is cessation of work. There is sustaining of the world. But who am I giving to? If the Shabbos is the soul of the week, Yisrael, Israel, is the soul, the mainstay of creation. So we are the mate of Shabbos, just like Shabbos sustains the whole week. We sustain creation. Very powerful thought. It is they who are capable of absorbing the radiance of the seventh day, because it's so kodesh that who will absorb what Shabbos gives off? The other days give off a shefa bracha, and the world absorbs what they give off. So the world benefits, and that day benefits. There is a partnership between the day and between Ma'aseh Bereishis. Shabbos comes along, and what it has to give is so holy that nothing and no one can contain the kedusha of Shabbos. So what do? The B'nai Yisrael are capable of absorbing the radiance of Shabbos. It is they whom the Shabbos can claim as its protege, as the beneficent patron of the chosen people. The Shabbos would also benefit. So there is a partnership between Shabbos and B'nai Yisrael. What do we do? Shabbos has something to give, but the only thing it has to give is Kodesh, Kedusha. Who can absorb the Kedusha? We can absorb the Kedusha. How does Shabbos benefit? Why, by the way, can we absorb the Kedusha? Because we have an extra neshama on Shabbos. We have a neshama Yisera. That extra neshama, which is unique to Am Yisrael, can absorb the Kedusha. How does Shabbos benefit? Remember, the other days of the week also benefit. They have more giving power. They are a conduit for blessing. They bless whatever comes down through that day. They receive more power to bless. So here, what's the partnership? Shabbos gives a flow of Kedusha. The B'nai Yisrael are able to absorb the Kedusha. How does Shabbos benefit? It would be rewarded with an extra soul. Look at that. An especially sublime core for the Shabbos. A kind of a soul of a soul. So through our Shmiras Shabbos and absorbing the Kedusha of Shabbos, in a sense, we give Shabbos an extra neshama. It's very powerful. Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch. Continuing. Are we okay? Okay. Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch defines the relationship between Shabbos and Yisrael in more prosaic but no less instructive and inspiring terms. So a little bit of a different approach. The Shabbos, he writes, is first and foremost an educational institution. If you've read anything or know anything about Chabad, I read a couple of years ago the book Rebbe by Joseph Telushkin, which was absolutely fascinating. And when the Rebbe came up with the tefillin campaign, not only did it come up with the tefillin campaign for men, but at the tefillin stands, what do they give out? Shabbos candles for the women. That's exactly what I remember when we were in the Shuk in the summer, Friday, late Friday afternoon, and to see secular Jews putting on tefillin and reciting Shema Yisrael in the middle of the hustling, bustling streets of Yerushalayim. The work that they do is tremendous. So the men put on tefillin, and what do they give to the women? Shabbos candles. So the Shabbos, says Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch, is first and foremost an educational institution, which is also very beautiful when we think of our Shabbos table, what the conversation should revolve around, whether you have your children or your grandchildren, what should we be speaking about? It serves as an educational institution. It is a beacon of truth in a world of a confusion of falsehood. And Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch could write that in the 1800s in Germany. What should we say today, almost 200 years later? The world is so confused. And the world is based on falsehood today. I'm not talking about Knesset Israel. We're talking about the world. Shabbos is first and foremost an educational institution. On the sixth day, Hashem's work in nature had been completed, but his work in history as a means of educating mankind had only begun. So what finished when Hashem finished the 6 days of creation? Creation finished. Hashem's always sustaining creation, but he finished creating the world. What began on Shabbos, though? education of the whole world. So something was actually, I don't want to say something was created on Shabbos because that could be misunderstood, but a new concept was introduced on Shabbos with the coming of Shabbos, which is the concept of education. Educating who? Mankind. As the Medrash expresses, from the work of creating his world, he rested. But from the work of guiding, of teaching, of educating the righteous and the wicked, he did not rest. And therefore, a major role in the task of educating the human race was entrusted to Shabbos. So Shabbos does have a very important role. It's not just the cessation of work which leads to Menucha. It's a time also of education.
Question.
What? Yes.
Education in what? What does that mean? Educating us in what?
In the oneness of God, in the emistic that should be revealed, in the truth of what we are fighting for and living for, that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. What was Avram trying to do? These are the parshas of Avram Avinu. This is the parsha of Vayera. What was Avram trying to do? Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Ke'olam 21:33. Right before the Akedah, after the pact with... Could you please bring me a Bereshis with Rashi? This doesn't have Rashi, even though I greatly appreciate that you put up, but I want to answer your question. Is that a tircha?
Right there. No, it's right here.
I just want to be able to answer your question. The pasuk, could she hear me? Or is she going far?
She must be.
No, but I'm saying, could she hear? Should I keep talking?
Be
right here. Thank you so much. Okay, so what are we educating the world for? What was Avraham Avinu educating the world for? Avraham Avinu was educating the world that there is a Ribono Shel Olam in this world, that the world is not running alone. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, in his Mishnah Torah, he writes about how Avraham recognized that it's not possible that this whole creation goes and there is no manhig. It's not possible, says Rabbah. There are stars, and there are moons, and there's a planet, and there's earth, and there's people. And is it possible he would look up at creation and he would say, there's no manhig? It's not possible. Avram wanted to educate the world as to the Ribono Shel Olam. So what does Rashi say in this week's parsha? Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva. The pasuk says Avram planted an Eshel. So I'm answering a question. Avram planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. What is an Eshel? So Targum Onkelos says it was an Ilan. Now, what's an Ilan?
A tree.
But there's much deeper answers here. Rashi in the Gemara in Sota 10a, Rashi in the Gemara says an Eshel is an acronym for Achila Shasiya Levia. He gave people to eat, he gave people to drink, and he accompanied them on their way. He called from that Eshel in the name of Hashem, God of the world. What was he calling? What was he proclaiming to the world? So Rashi says, what is Eshel? Interesting, Rashi in the Gemara gives a different interpretation than Rashi in Chumas. Rashi says, Ravu Shmuel, Chad Amar Pardes, Lahavi Mimenu Peris Orchim Basuda. One says he planted an Eshel, it's an orchard. From that orchard, he would bring fruit for the guests. He would give them a su'uda to eat. And the other one says, Pundak, it was an inn, Achsanya, for hosting his guests, Achsanya, Achnasat Orchim, Vubo, call me Neimachal. In this Pundak, he had all sorts of food, and he served his guests food. So according to all opinions, Eshel is some sort of sustenance for people, whether it is Achila Shasi Olivia, or it is a Pardes, or it is a Pundak, he was serving people food. What does it mean through this food? Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. He called her in the name of God of the world. What was he proclaiming to people? So beautiful Rashi. Al yudei oso eshel, through that eshel, nikro shmosha kosh baruch hu eloka. The name of God became known as God of the world. How so? L'chol ha'olam. La'achar sha'ochlim b'shosim. After they would eat and drink, amar lahem. Avram would say, it's so fascinating. You know, we think we're like, they were benching back in the day. What would Avram say after they ate and drank? Baruchu lemisha achaltu mishalo. Don't say thank you to me because you came to my pundak and you ate from my Jaffa oranges. You should bless the one from whom you ate his food. Sivurim atem shimishali achaltem. Do you think you ate my food? So when we remind ourselves or our kids to bench, we have precedent for this in Avraham Avinu. Do you think you ate my food? Misha Amar Vahaya Ha'olam Achaltem. Misha Amar Vahaya Ha'olam. What is he specifically referring to? Maisa Bereshis. You ate from the one who created the world. What does Shabbos proclaim? What is the educational institution of Shabbos? To educate a very confused, what does he say? Confused and false world about clarity and reality. And that comes through the Kedusha of Shabbos that only Knesset Yisrael can absorb. Starting with Avraham Avinu, he wanted to proclaim the name of God throughout the whole world through Maaseh Bereishis. He would give him a fruit. And he would say, look at this fruit. You think it's my fruit? On the sixth day, let's go back inside. On the sixth day, good question. On the sixth day, you know where I am? Yeah. Does anyone know where I am? Yeah, okay. On the sixth day, God's work in nature had been completed, but his work in history is means, oh, we said that, sorry. What? Last paragraph on that column. What made this guidance necessary? And that's sort of what you just asked, by the way. But we answered with Avraham Avinu and our Tafkid, which is like what Chabad really does. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe believed very much in spreading the light and the truth, if you read about him, Zatzal, to all peoples, not only to Bnei Yisrael. He was the one who was instrumental in having the public schools maintain a moment of silence, just even though they can't have prayer because you can't mix, what is it, education and religion? What is it called?
Separation
of the church and state. But he at least wanted people to have some idea that there is a being who is running the show. What made this guidance necessary? Why tie it to the seventh day? When God withdrew on the seventh day from active creation to invisible management. So you see, actively creating, and now what happens on the seventh day? He withdrew, so to speak, invisible management. He handed the world over to man, as it were. So who becomes in charge on the seventh day, Yom HaShvi'i? Bnei Yisrael. Everything we're understanding is that over and over is that the reins have been handed over, so to speak, to Knesset Yisrael. Man now has an arena in which to exercise free will and conducting life and ruling over nature. Hashem is not creating on this day. Hashem is always in charge. So to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam withdrew from active creation, and he said to man, you're in charge, so to speak. In this position of prestige and power, man all of a sudden can be a creator. Man's in charge. God's no longer the active creator. Man was in danger of losing his bearings. What safeguard was there to ensure that man would not forget God? And very quickly, by the way, man did forget God. When you come to the time period of Noah, which is 10 generations from Adam, they forgot God very, very quickly. I have time. Share a fascinating verb. It's interesting that Shabbos is only one day of the week. And the other 6 days are Chol. And that day of Kodesh is meant to carry us through the 6 days of Chol. And what are we supposed to do on the 6 days?
Prepare for Shabbos.
Prepare for Shabbos. But what do we do on 6 days? We work on 6 days, whether it's preparing for Shabbos or doing work. It's interesting before because you mentioned the word rest. So, thank you. And now I just mentioned Noah when the world became confused and false, and Hashem said everything is going to be destroyed. What does Noah's name mean?
Rest.
What?
Rest.
Rest. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, when Noah was born. Hashem, could please help me find it. Here we go. Thank you. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, when Noah was born to Lamech. Lamech gave birth to a son, and he called his name Noah. Lamor, he called his name Noah, saying, Zeye nachamenu mi ma'asenu, u'me'itzavon yadenu min ha'adama asher eirera Hashem. Zeye nachamenu mi ma'asenu. What does that mean? This one will give us
comfort.
Not comfort, actually. It's interesting you just said that because we think it's comfort, but it's more rest from the work of our hands. Umeitzavan yadenu. Itzavan is really like sadness from the hard work of our hands. Min ha'adama asher eirev Hashem. From the land that God cursed. This one will give us rest from the ground that Hashem cursed. Before Noah, the Medrash says, you know, have you heard this? The people did not have? Yeah?
I heard it.
Move your hand, please.
No, I heard that before Noah, they were digging the ground with their hands.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Before Noah, that's exactly correct. The Medrash says before Noah, the people dug with their hands. They did not have gardening tools. When Noah came along, the Medrash says, what happened?
He invented the shovel.
Rashi says, Yanach mimenu, ze yanachamenu, what does it mean? Mimase yadenu. This one will ease from us as itzuvan yadenu, the toil of our hands. Ad shelo banoach, lo hayalhem clay machareisha. They didn't have for cheresh, they didn't have tools for plowing. Hu hechin lahem. He is the one who created tools, a hoe, a pitchfork, a wheelbarrow, a shovel. And the earth would produce thorns and thistles. In the days of Noach, it rested. That's the meaning of Yenachamenu. So you have to be very careful. Ein lo tifar shukach. One second. Okay. So the Medrash says that before Noach, they didn't have gardening tools. They didn't have tools for implements. Noach comes along and his father says, this will give us rest from the toil of our hands and from the toil of working the earth that God cursed. So I heard of Shai Shechter say a tremendous var. He's actually quoting Rav Pam. Rav Pam points out something very interesting. You would think that Noach made life easier. He made the world easier. Now we have a shovel. Before you had to use your hands. It was hard work. Every time you wanted to plant something, you had to dig with your hands. Rav Pam explains, when things become too easy, man becomes corrupt. When we have too much free time, when we sit idle, when there's not so much to do, that's when society becomes debased and corrupt. It's not an accident, Rav Pam points out, that at the very time that life in society became easier, you could say it was a technological or agricultural revolution, the shovel was created. Imagine how easy it's going to be to farm now. It was so hard before. You never had a break, bless you. Now it's so easy. You take a shovel. It used to take you an hour. It takes you 5 minutes. You take out a whole spade full of dirt. And yet what happened? What happened to society? The people became corrupt and destroyed. When people have too much time on their hands, it's never a good thing. Work is ennobling. Work is productive. It was a shir that he gave on Ahov as Hamalacha. But Pirkei Avos says you should love work. It's a fascinating, fascinating word of Rav Pam. It's no coincidence that when life became easier with the agricultural revolution introduced by Noach, his father was so happy. He said, this will bring us rest from our hands. And Noach created the shovel and the hoe and the spade, and it's wonderful. And now it's so much easier. And what happens when life becomes too easy? Man loses purpose. Man becomes debased. What happened? Hashem had to destroy the whole world. It's a frightening sign of our times. My mother talks about how hard, she says her mother, Holocaust survivors, they didn't have disposable pans. There was no automatic washers. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman's at Tzal Paskin, it's very interesting. There was a minhag, a long-standing minhag, not to do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. I'm not telling you what to do. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskin, sent out by the Oyu Halacha Yomi. So you shouldn't do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. Because it's hard labor. Shlomo Zalman Paskin that today doing laundry is not hard labor, because today what do? You push a button, and therefore, according to Shlomo, you can ask your own shayla. I'm not telling you what to do. It's a minhag. There's no, you don't have to refrain from doing laundry. Why? We're not working. What are you doing? You put in clothing in the machine, you put in some detergent, you push a button. Literally, my mother tells me about my grandma's ringer washer, how hard life was, and yet society is more and more corrupt than we ever were. Life's at our fingertips. Things are so easy. And people have totally lost their way. Shabbos is one day a week. The other 6 days, what do you have to do? Work. Work is ennobling. Work is important. But you need the kedusha of Shabbos. You have to understand you have a purpose, whether it's an educational work, or whether it's work in the field, or whether it's work in a bakery. Man works, but you must take the kedusha of Shabbos through the week with you. So let's go back here. So what safeguard was there to ensure the world would not forget God? Last line, second last line in the first column. How do we know that man would not look upon the world, which had been entrusted to him, to govern according to God's will as his own property? Maybe now I think I'm in charge. That's exactly what the people of Dora Mabel thought, by the way. I'm in charge. What's Gazel? God doesn't own anything. You don't own anything. I can take whatever I want. Onechem gzardinam ala ala Gazel. Why was their gzardin sealed? Because of thievery. What does it denote? I'm the owner of everything. That's exactly the threat. When things become too easy, when you forget that Shabbos is supposed to fuel the other 6 days of the week through your neshama seira and kedusha, that you can't sit idle. You have to work and you have to rest. Otherwise, you forget that I own nothing. Everything is Hashem's property. That in his controlling power over the things around him, how do we know man won't regard himself as master? How do we know man would not live in God's world solely in accordance with human will? That's exactly what happened in the time of Noach. Avodah Zarah is, there's no Hashem in charge. I'm the master. God's not the master. Gezel is, I'm the owner. I can take whatever I want if I'm the owner, because I own everything and anything. And finally, Arayus is total debasement. The safeguard to ensure this will not happen is Shabbos. So yes, you're going to work, and yes, you're going to produce, and yes, you will be successful people, and yes, you will educate, but you have to always remember you're ultimately not in charge. What will remind us that we are not the owners and that we are not in charge? Shabbos. The safeguard is Shabbos, with which God crowned his work on the seventh day of creation. And it is the first day of independent human activity. He blessed, because Hashem stepped into passive mode, so to speak. Hashem blessed the Shabbos day. He made it holy. Does everyone know where we are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He blessed it with the capacity to give man renewed strength to carry out his task. From Shabbos, we should be working very hard during the week. If we're not working very hard, so something's wrong. We should daven that we should have koach to work very hard, but we got to work. And Shabbos gives us the strength to carry out tasks. And Hashem sanctified Shabbos with the ability to teach man your task, your nature of your task. What's the nature of your task? Whatever you're doing, your task is kodesh. With the right kavana, but the right approach, you understand that your work is kodesh. Shabbos teaches us the nature of our task. We must persevere in doing so with a single-minded, unrelenting, staying power of holiness. That holiness of Shabbos should accompany us through all the days of the week. Why did he equip this day so? Kivo Shabbos mikol melachto. On this day he rested. Shabbat really means to cease. Shabbat means to cease. He ceased from all work with this means of educating mankind. He ceased from work. He put the final touch on the world he created, giving it the institution that would lead to its ultimate goal. Vayita Eshel b'Va'er Shava. I just hope something cool. Not that. Can I know Baruch Hashem? I thought of something very cool. The purpose of Shabbos, we said, Rav Shem Shem Voller says the purpose of Shabbos is to educate the world, to educate mankind. To educate what? You asked? The omnipotency of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we should not forget. While we're so busy working, we shouldn't become to think that we're in charge. We're owners? Geza. We serve ourselves, Avodah Zarah. We become debased, Gilei Arayos. Mala Aretz Chamas Tefana, Yini Mashchisam Es Aretz. When things become too easy, God says, man can't live like this. Man has to work. We have to be noble. You have to work hard. You must make sure that the Kedusha of Shabbos is the instruction into how we work, into who controls the world, into who runs the show, and that work is ennobling only when it's coupled with the Kedusha of Shabbos. When you ask, what are we educating the world? I went to the Pasuk in Chof Aleph Lamed Gimel, in this week's parsha, right before the Akedah. Vayita Eshel b'Va'er Shava. Oh my gosh, that's very cool. Vayikra Sham b'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. It even says Kel Olam. Avram was reminding people that there's a God to the world. It doesn't just say Vayikra Sham b'Shem Hashem. I would say that there's a God. No, he's the Kel Olam. Don't forget who creates and who runs and who sustains the world. The Eshel is the means through which Rashi says he calls out to the world. The Er Shava literally means the well of seven. We're talking about understanding Maisa Bereshis, Shavisa from Malacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam who's in charge of the 7 days of the week. Vayita Eshel, you must plant your Eshel b'Va'er Shava in the wellspring of seven, the wellspring of the 7 days of the week. If you plant your Eshel in the 7 days of the week, in the well of, we call it Sheishas in Bereishis, plus one more day, which is Shabbos, then you will always be able to call it on the name of Hashem. If you understand the Be'er Shava, that God is the wellspring of 7 days of the week, by creating in 6 days and on resting and giving us an educational tafkid on the seventh, you will always be able to call it on the name of Hashem. Be'er Shava, the wellspring of 7 days of the week, leads us to understand our tafkid, and then we can all call on the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's go. Where am I up to? Oh, sorry.
I just feel like I need to. Tibor and I had a tremendous chus just last Shabbos. We were by the Baal Shem Tov in Mezrich. So the Baal Shem Tov was known as Or Shivas Hayamim.
The Baal Shem Tov was known as
Or Shivas Hayamim.
Say it one more time.
Or
Shivas Hayamim. Okay.
And the Baal Shem Tov's, you know, like main tafkid in this world. I mean, he was known for so much, but he went around teaching just the simple people that we're each Zocha to have a connection to Hashem. Like he, you know what I'm saying? That was his thing. Like he just went around to the different towns and different communities. And like you're saying about Avram, but like the Baal Shem Tov went and was like, you can have a connection to Hashem. You can have a connection to Hashem. You can have a connection to Hashem.
But Dafka, you're saying through the 7 days of the week.
I'm saying that's what he was known as. He was known as Or Shiva Shayimim.
So you see, it comes from Be'er Sheva. And who blazed the trail for all of us? Avraham Avinu. Kol Ma'ashe Yir Al-Avos. It's Tanchuma. Tess, as quoted by the Ramban to 12:6 in Bereishis. Kol Ma'ashe Yir Al-Avos. Simon Lebanim. He blazed the trail. He showed us you need to plant yourself in the Be'er Sheva. Who's the ultimate Be'er Sheva? Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the ultimate wellspring that gives to the whole world through the 7 days in which he created and then rested? Ribbono Shel Olam. Only if you acknowledge the Be'er Sheva, capital B, capital S, referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What was he known as, Baal Shem Tov?
Or
Shivas Hayamim. So you take the Kedusha of Shabbos, you ennoble yourself. Sheishas Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha is a command. It doesn't say 6 days you should rest on your bed and 6 days you should be lazy and then you should have Shabbos. Also, Rav Shai Shechter also said, interestingly, it was in a different year, I think, that if you rest the whole day, what does Shabbos mean? If you spend 6 days doing nothing, what's the beauty of Shabbos? Shabbos is only tap into Kedusha on the deepest level of Shabbos. If you appreciate Shabbos, it means that during the six other days, you're working hard. But Shabbos and the 6 days are all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. On the seventh day, he stepped back, so to speak, as we're understanding. He gave us the rain, but we can't become too haughty. It's only one day. For 6 days, Hashem is in active control. On the seventh day, he's impassive. We must tap into the Be'er Sheva, the Or Shivas Hayamim, in order to Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Oyveh, you have a comment. We must finish this piece. Yes?
It's interesting that in Eretz Yisrael, Sunday's a work day. They go
very
right
nice,
into
beautiful.
That. And here we still
beautiful. Have. That's right. That's right. With all the perhaps issues there, the Yom Rishon is a day of the week. It's a work day. You should know when I lived there in ninth grade, my father took a sabbatical year, and I lived there in ninth grade. It was very hard for me Sunday. I was this Canadian kid and I was in ninth grade, and Sunday I was not used to the fact that Sunday is a regular day of the week. Very, very nice. You should be working for 6 days. Let's try and finish this, okay? That safeguard is the Shabbat. With which God crowned his work on the seventh day of creation, the Be'er Sheva, also the first day of independent human activity. He made the Shabbos day holy. He blessed it with the capacity to give man renewed strength to carry out our tasks. Shabbos gives us the strength for Yom Rishon through Yom Shishi. He sanctified it with the ability to teach us the nature of his task. You think you ate from me? You could ate from God. To persevere. You must. What? Life is easy? Work is easy? Can we give up? I spoke in Denver last week, and after the Motzei Shabbos Malava Malka, a woman came over to me, and she was crying. She said, I really needed to hear this chizuk. She said, you know, sometimes I think, like, why am I working so hard? Struggles in a personal life. And she said, sometimes I feel like giving up. And we have to persevere with a single-minded, unrelenting, staying power of holiness. Why did he equip this day? Vo Shavas Mikol Malachto, with the means of educating mankind. He ceased from work. He put the final touch on the world he created, giving it the institution that would lead to its goal. The whole subsequent history of God's management and revelation has no other purpose than to lead Shabbos to victory. And that is why in the end of days will be the ultimate Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Ha, because what we're really working towards is the end goal of history, where everybody recognizes that God is one, that God is in control. To acquire for Shabbos evermore the B'nei Zug, marriage partners, who join the Shabbos in bringing the world's goal to fruition. The whole world one day, v'haya b'yamahu, yasham echad u'shmo'acha, not only ki besi besi tefila yikore l'chol ha'amim, not only will we recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, but so will the whole world. How does the Shabbos accomplish all this? I will try not to interrupt so we could just finish. How does it remind us of our true position in the world, of the true nature of our task? 6 days you shall labor. You see? You have to work. 6 days you should do work. You should be busy. You should be going from an appointment to a shiur, to the grocery, to cooking, to your job, to an interview, to do laundry, even if it's just the push of a button. Be busy. But the seventh day is the Shabbos to Hashem. On Shabbos, the Torah says, you refrain from exercising dominion over any and all things. So the 6 days you work, and on the seventh day you say, I don't have dominion. You must not use your supreme intellect and skill. There's no malachas machshaves. to form them into objects for human use. And this way you acknowledge you really have no ownership over the world. So for 6 days we think we're in charge. For 6 days we think we sew an apron. And for 6 days we think we make fire. And for 6 days we cook. And for 6 days you have to come to Shabbos to reorient yourself, realign yourself, and take a step back and say, I'm not really in charge. Nothing may be dealt with as man pleases. Everything belongs to Hashem, the Borei Olam, who has sent man into the world to rule according to his word. On each Shabbos, the world is restored to God. Man proclaims to himself and his surroundings that everything I enjoy is on borrowed authority. The 6 days that I work, you might become so productive that you think it's me. Shabbos realigns us. When the world forgets about Shabbos, when the world thinks that things are too easy, when everything not only is laundry today at the push of a button, everything is in our fingertips at the push of a button, we risk, like the time of Noach, you have a shovel, it's so easy, you forget God. Shabbos realigns us. The result is a fruitful world historic partnership, a marriage of sorts between Shabbos and the Jewish people. The Shabbos provides the symbol, and the Jews, by observing Shabbos, take that symbol and we make it a reality. Without anyone observing Shabbos, Shabbos serves no purpose. It needs a ben zug to make it from latent potential to active reality. We spread the message. We slowly set the stage for all of mankind to recognize God's sovereignty and to enter his service. So Baruch Hashem, we finished the piece with that.